It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you're back, and I just want to say one message. No, thank you, Amazon. I just have to tell you that I'm not happy with Amazon this morning. These Prime days kill me.
It's not a Prime Day.
We spent
a
lot of money yesterday on Prime Day.
Did you get your tree?
We did get a Christmas tree. We bought a Christmas tree on Amazon Prime, which means we're buying something we haven't seen yet, which should be interesting.
8 is divided by 2, and 9 is divided by 3. It is not a Prime Day.
What?
That's what the original thing was.
Carl. So, whatever.
It was a math joke.
Thank you, Carl.
I'm sitting here in my brain like, okay.
What's he talking about? What the hell is he talking about?
Prime numbers.
I went into journalism and broadcasting because I'm not a math guy.
And it's also 7 in the morning.
Could have gone to engineering school. Thank you. got a new car seat yesterday for one of the grandchildren because we needed an upgrade. And we got a Christmas tree. And we got several things. And I tell you what, man, they've created a better mousetrap. When you can go on Amazon and order something, and it's going to be delivered the same day. My wife ordered that car seat yesterday morning, and by the time I was closing up the house last night to go to bed, it was sitting on the front porch.
It's almost creepy.
It's almost creepy. It's almost like it got teleported there. And I know that's not what happened, but anyway, that's an expensive day in my household.
Well, and Amazon, I don't even like giving them my business, but I will admit that I have been shopping there more lately because there's things I need, and I know I only have one child, and people listening right now have, you know, 4, 5, whatever children are thinking, wait until you have more children and see how difficult it is to go to the store. I agree, trust me, but even my one 20-month-old child now who is like kicking and screaming like a bronco trying to get him into that car seat, and I have other stuff, and he's all over the place. Okay, so it's not really typically an enjoyable experience to get him in and out of the car seat.
Well, I hope your Prime Day was less expensive than mine.
I think so.
Lots of stuff to get to here for you today. We're going to talk to Elizabeth Troutman Mitchell coming up about the really just explosion in these transgender centers, like the one that shut down at Wash U. They're popping up all over the country. They did a study on it. We'll get to her coming up here in the next segment. Next hour, we're going to talk to Chad Pergamer, hoping from Fox, who's been reporting this morning on FEMA and their funding. And it's clearly a point of contention in the election right now. Because the White House claims there's no there, and a lot of Republicans are saying, oh, yeah, you spent millions of dollars on illegal aliens. Don't tell us you couldn't have spent that money on American citizens. So we'll get the latest from Chad on that at 8:08. We're also going to talk about Amendment 3 again, and there's an effort to raise more money to try to fight against this thing. We still have a month to go. We're going to tell you about that coming up at about 8:20. So stay tuned. Still a lot to get to, including our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm a Democrat, but they have f***ed us over for the last 40 years. And for once, we're standing up as a union, probably the only one right now, saying, what the f*** have you done for us?
Yeah.
Carl, I hate to stereotype, but why do all these union leaders sound like Vinny Testosterone?
Because they are.
The Sean O'Brien there with Teamsters yesterday in a podcast, and it was not kind to the Democrat Party, let me tell you.
I do tend to poll much differently than the end result. If you remember the first one where I was actually polled 17 points down in Wisconsin, and I won it.
Yeah, Donald Trump there on with the Ben Shapiro yesterday talking about polling. We've talked about it here. He's doing much better in the polling than he was in 16 or 20. And I think that's probably good news if you're a Trump fan.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind.
Yep, swing and a miss by Kamala Harris. She gets all the softball questions yesterday from her sycophants at The View and has an opportunity to distance herself from the failures of Joe Biden and did not take that opportunity.
Are you worried about your husband's safety in the next 29 days?
Of course I do. Yes, I do. Let's ask ourselves, who is really a threat to democracy?
It's a good point. If you recognize the voice there, the accent, that is the former First Lady Melania Trump, soon to be again First Lady, I believe, much to the media's dismay. She was on The Five yesterday. She's been doing her book tour. She's had all the controversy. Of course, I'm sure that if you're writing a book, and my wife's a book coach, so she would be the one to reference this, but you know that there's something that's going to get all of the headlines. You've got to put that in the book, and then you tease it on the cover, and then you beg for media, right? And with Melania Trump, that was a no-brainer. She disagrees with her husband on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the media wanted her because they think they can use her to damage Donald Trump, which is how she got media time on some of these other networks. If this was a memoir of the former First Lady and it didn't have anything negative about Donald Trump in it, none of them would have wanted her on.
You think there's any liberals who don't like Donald Trump? They don't like Kamala Harris for whatever reason. But now knowing that that Melania's in favor of abortion, they're hopeful and they might consider voting for Trump because they're thinking maybe she could sway him.
No,
I don't think she will. But I don't look at Trump as a somebody who's staunchly pro-life. I think he can be easily swayed, as he kind of has been on this issue. I am so thankful for what he did with the Supreme Court and obviously with Roe v. Wade. There's a lot of good that came from his term as a president, but I don't view him as somebody who is very pro-life.
I don't know. I think he wants to limit abortion in this country. And you, as if you've listened to this show, the old Dr. Phil, have you ever listened to this show? If you've listened to this show, you know how I feel about it. You certainly know how Kim feels about it. But to me, if you can go on the exception issue, Donald Trump is in favor of exceptions for what? Rape, incest,
yep.
Life of the mother. Mm-hmm. He's okay with the 15 weeks or maybe even more than that, 20 weeks. I don't know. And a lot of people are upset with him. The people who are pro-life because they believe life begins at conception are upset that he's not more pro-life.
Yeah, I would be in that category.
And I'm in that category as well because I believe life begins at conception. And just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that's not a life, a valuable life. And all the people who support abortion have been born. And the people that would probably be more likely to be against it never got that opportunity. But if you go from 600,000 abortions a year to 60,000 or 70,000, that's a big improvement. You got to take your wins where you can find them. So for that reason, I'm perfectly willing to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt on that issue. Because anything is an improvement over where we have been in all the lives that have been taken over the last, well, since 1973.
I agree, but I don't think it's not okay to set the precedent that that's acceptable, that at 15 weeks it's fine.
No, I don't think it's acceptable, but I think it's still a win.
I agree it's a win, but I just worry that he's going to be getting people to think that, okay, well, as long as we get it 15 weeks, that's the cap, then we're okay.
I tell you what, we'll continue that conversation coming up. Elizabeth Troutman Mitchell from Heritage, she's joining us this morning. Genevieve Wood took the day off, and Elizabeth's going to step in and talk more about her article in the Daily Signal on these transgender health centers that are popping up all over the country. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be back. Pretty extensively, we covered it pretty extensively here on the show when Washington University's transgender center was the subject of a whistleblower who pointed out that she saw, you know, a lot of kids coming in from the same schools locally, and she was alarmed about that, and the doctors didn't seem to be concerned about it. This drew a lot of attention from state legislators, from Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Eventually, they passed a law about it. The Transgender Center here at WashU has shut down. We know that. But what we do not realize is that there are a lot more of them out there all over the country. We have Elizabeth Troutman Mitchell on the phone with us this morning. Elizabeth, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, good to have you here. So your report in the Daily Signal here, dailysignal.com, is that there are more than 200 of these hospitals or healthcare facilities around the country providing these irreversible transgender procedures to children.
That is correct. So a medical watchdog called Do No Harm just released a new database laying out all the hospitals across the country, pediatric hospitals, other hospitals, et cetera, that are willing to provide irreversible transgender medical interventions to children. So this includes hormone treatments, puberty blockers, and even these surgeries. A lot of kids have gotten surgeries to change their bodies to look more like the gender that they feel like they are. And it's really shocking to see how widespread this is. The database uncovers that more than 14,000 children have undergone some kind of sex change intervention.
And how many of these procedures are happening or are cases where kids are given these hormone blockers, these puberty blockers, without even their parents knowing what's going on, you think?
That's a great question. I'm not sure of the numbers on that, but it is something that we're hearing about happening. I think in a lot of states that's illegal, but in states like California, schools are able to help kids transition behind their parents' back. They're able to give kids something called gender support plan, where the kid identifies what they want to be called at school and then what they want to be called at home so that the parents don't find out. So I think a lot of times parents are scared into going along with these sex change interventions because they're told you can choose to have, you know, a dead son or a living daughter, which is a terrible thing for a parent to be told and kind of forces the parent in a way to go along with this, even if they know in their heart that it's not right. But I think you're correct that sometimes it's also happening and get behind parents' backs without parental support, and that's very sad.
Well, the numbers are stunning. I'll just have to say, Elizabeth, the numbers in this study of children who underwent sex change interventions, is that possible? 14,000 over a four-year period?
It must be. And the crazy thing is, Do No Harm, when they compiled this information, they were actually very cautious about making sure it was correct to the extent that there are a lot of claims. So they did this by reviewing insurance claims using different codes for gender transition process. And they said that they were very on the more conservative side of what they added to the numbers. So it's likely there are even more than Do No Harm was able to include in its database.
It's sick. Almost 6,000 children between 2019 and 2023 underwent transgender surgery. That means the irreversible surgery to remove or alter their genitals, while 8,500 have been given hormones and puberty blockers, which can impact their ability down the road to have children or a variety of other things, right?
You're right. They have all sorts of health risks. Of course, those surgeries, you can never go back after that. We have an example of Chloe Cole, for instance, a detransitioner. She's now 20. She got a double mastectomy at age 14, regretted it just a few months later. You can never go back on that. Very sad. And she says that if she has babies, she can't feed the babies. It's very sad. She can't go back. And then these hormone blockers, these puberty blockers and hormone treatments, like you said, these have all sorts of side effects. They have bad effects on bone density. They have bad effects on your voice, on just like your overall health, your ability to have a healthy long life. And these kids who get these, any sort of these transgender interventions, are going to be in and out of the hospital with various pain, discomfort issues from the side effects their whole lives. So they're really being medicalized in a major way.
Yeah,
forever, potentially.
Elizabeth, I've only got about a minute left here, but you have another article on there. I think it's maybe from yesterday, where family therapists are being trained that denying gender-affirming care is ageist, that claiming a child is too young to understand what they're doing to their body is somehow ageist.
That is what was said in this Zoom training by a psychologist named Dr. Sean Giamatti. He identifies transgender as biological woman. And in this training, therapist on the call learned, like you said, that it's ageist to deny kids gender-affirming care, that kids know their gender when they're a baby, so you should trust them. And that is very shocking. He says that he trusts the child over the parent, over anyone else. Yes. Trust the child first.
The message here is, if you have to get therapy for your child, vet the therapist very well so they're not feeding them that kind of garbage. Elizabeth Troutman Mitchell, we appreciate your time. You can find both those articles at dailysignal.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. We're going to be back in just a minute. Yeah, I want to get back to the news headlines here. Glad you're with us, by the way, live on Rumble and X this morning. Back on Facebook on Friday, we believe. We'll be out of Facebook jail, so that's important to know. You know, one of the things that I warned about, and it's too late now because the voters of Missouri, the combination of stoners and libertarians and big money interest groups, passed legalized recreational marijuana in Missouri several years ago. And now it's big business and the state's making a lot of tax money off of it. And everybody seems happy, right? Or stoned, one of the two. I smell it everywhere. And then the reason I was worried about this is the proliferation of it in front of our children, thinking it's okay because they see it and they smell it everywhere. Now, I imagine if a gun shop wanted to open up across the street from a school, the answer would be no, because the anti-gun nuts have gun-free zones, or they don't want guns anywhere near a school. Even though it is a constitutionally protected right for you to have a gun. They want to pass these laws that say you have gun-free zones, right? Which is the dumbest thing a man has ever come up with, potentially. Because only the bad guys have guns in gun-free zones, because they don't care about the law. They're criminals. So now I hear Kim reading the story this morning about the school that has a marijuana drive-through across the street. Please explain that story to me, Kim.
This is Lift for Life Academy, which is K through 12, and it's along South Broadway in the city of St. Louis. And there's been this ongoing battle about this marijuana dispensary, Kind Goods, that opened up across the street. So that was already frustrating for the school, understandably. And now what's happened is the city went ahead and approved a permit request from Kind Goods to allow them to have a drive-through. I don't believe that's been put in place, but the school was then fighting that, saying, okay, we don't want this, but if you're going to allow it, we at least want kind of this blackout window that whenever they'd be doing drop-off for the kids and pick-up, so, you know, you'd guess what, 7-something in the morning and maybe around 2 or 3 in the afternoon when school gets out,
yeah,
that they can't have the drive-through operating, and that request was denied. So this is going to go forward. So as the parents are dropping their kids off and vice versa, those high schoolers are leaving school, they're going to get that nice smell of pot as they leave and maybe be tempted enough, even though you're not supposed to, figure out a way to get somebody to go over there and get them some.
I'm mystified by a couple things here. I mean, it's not surprising because people who've listened to this show know how I feel about it. I didn't think it should ever have been legalized to begin with. That's my take on it. There's nothing I can do about it now. I think it's a gateway drug. I just do. If you disagree with me, sorry, it's my show. I can't get myself away from this right here. Quite frankly, and this is what I play just about every time.
This guy's been stoned since the third grade.
Yeah, I know that, dude.
Mr. Spicoli.
That's the name they gave me.
Hey, bud, let's party.
Yeah, they're going to get out of school. Hey, dude, let's party. It's right across the street.
Yeah.
So it's the city of St. Louis that has to make this decision.
Yeah.
What made them think it was a good idea to allow the dispensary there in the first place?
It's interesting that you ask that question, because what they're talking about on Fox 2, which is where I saw this story, if you're interested to go look at it for yourself, is it's talking about when the board made this decision, they had asked, hey, does anyone have any sort of public comment? And no one spoke up. So I guess they assumed that everyone was fine. This vote actually happened. It's the Board of Public Services on October 1st. And it says, according to this article on Fox 2, it says it passed when the board took one vote that encompassed multiple conditional use permits at the same time.
I mean, it was pretty clear that the way this law was written, and it won't be unlike the way the abortion law will be written, is that it puts ironclad guarantees in the Missouri Constitution that there are so many ways you are unable to restrict the sale of marijuana. So does that mean that because the Constitution changed, it's suddenly okay to sell it near a school?
Yeah, I don't
know.
There's a lot of
questions here.
Because
the kids going to the school aren't old enough to have it. Here was one of the parents who testified against it, who said, I don't like the idea. Weed dispensaries should be nowhere near the school in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It's advertising to the high schoolers.
Right.
Who may be smoking it anyway, for all I know. I'd say it's advertising to the middle schoolers who maybe aren't yet.
Well, and it's like the whole alcohol thing, right? The whole hey, mister thing you hear about, where you find somebody who is legal to go get it for you. So what stops a student from doing that? Pulling a hey, mister outside school to get some weed.
And I would argue you're more likely to find somebody arrested for that than you would be for going to buy pot for them, because the police are no longer allowed to pull somebody over at the smell of pot. But if you're driving down the street drinking a beer, they certainly see you doing that, and you're going to get pulled over and arrested for DWI.
Yeah. I think what happened here, where they're saying that no one spoke up whenever they asked for public comment or concerns, it speaks to the importance of any sort of these board meetings, whether it be your school board meeting, and it seems boring. Why would I want to spend my night going there and speaking out? I don't want to take the backlash. But this is what can happen if no one speaks out, because you just assume, well, surely somebody else is going to be there to kind of represent our side. I guess that's not what happened here.
No, and the scarier thing is that the elected officials in charge of this board that oversees conditional use permits, didn't have any concerns about this at all. Regardless of, I've been an elected official, regardless of whether somebody shows up at the meeting to complain about it, you have two eyes and a brain. You should have already seen that conflict there.
Well, and the school had been very clear it did not want this from the get-go. Not only did they not want the dispensary there, but now you add the drive-through.
Yeah. Please drive through and pick up your joints and smoke them on the way home, and you're not going to get in any trouble for it at all.
Please.
I don't agree with that any more than I agree with a beer drive-through being across the street from a school.
Yeah.
Number one, right, like places like Indiana, you can't buy cold beer at a convenience store because they want to risk somebody's going to pop it open and drink it on the way home.
Yeah.
They want you to take it home and cool it off
and
then drink it there.
Make it less enticing.
They do.
Yeah.
But this is just asking for problems.
I agree. I mean, really, please show up to those local board meetings that you think are so boring you'd rather claw your eyeballs out.
Yeah,
I get it. But
yeah.
Go and speak out. Go sign up to speak. Voice your concerns.
Yeah, you should. And maybe maybe there wasn't enough alert about it. Maybe they didn't have enough time to warn people that it was coming. I don't know. It's crazy. Hey, move to St. Louis, please. We were just advertising all the reasons not to. Coming up, Kim, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. What are we talking about?
Halloween, believe it or not, is 3 weeks away, just about. And here's a question for you. How old is too old to go trick-or-treating? Because a St. Louis area city has actually made it illegal to go door-to-door trick-or-treating after a certain age.
I can see that. I've seen that taken advantage of at some point. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I don't know about you, but I would say last Halloween, I probably had, I'm going to guess, 10 kids who came to our door trick-or-treating who looked to be 15, 16 years old, you know, holding out their bag, and I'm reluctantly putting candy in it. So you have to ask yourself the question, how old is too old to be going door-to-door trick-or-treating? Well, I found this story from, this is from Fox 2, and it's talking about how there's a law in Belleville, Illinois, so the Metro East. This has actually been in place since 2008. And it says that after eighth grade, you technically cannot, it's illegal, they say, to go trick-or-treating.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right around the age when you probably shouldn't be doing that anymore. I mean, I've seen kids as old as freshmen in high school, but I think eighth grade is probably, I think that's about it. I mean, you're 15 at that point, probably. What?
Yeah, 14? I'd say 14, 15, you're typically going into high school,
yeah,
ninth grade.
Yeah, and maybe you're wanting that one, either you just want a bag full of candy, or you and your friends just, you still got enough kid in you that you still want to go do that.
Yeah. Now, according to this article, it says that violations could lead to a $250 fine for the first offense, and then any subsequent offenses, it would be $500. Now, do I really think they're enforcing this? No, probably not. They're not going to ticket a kid for doing this, but they might just, if they catch him, say, hey, you're too old to be trick-or-treating.
Well, and the other side of that is probably kids that age are more likely to potentially cause trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
And therefore, if the cop is investigating it, he's got a little bit of teeth to scare them with, right? Like, there's a law against this. You know, I know you're past eighth grade. Maybe that's not a bad idea. I doubt that it's ever enforced very often. But in the instance that you had kids going around smashing pumpkins or terrorizing other little kids, you could put them in the back of the cruiser for a minute and tell them about the law that makes this illegal, and they're probably going to go home at that point.
I agree. The fear is maybe enough of a deterrent for some of these kids. What I do welcome, and I had this happen last year, and I don't know how old these kids were. I'm going to guess they were maybe 14, 15, but I tend to be not the greatest at guessing ages.
Okay.
Remember those kids who came by my house dressed up as Joe Biden and the Secret Service, and he was stumbling everywhere? I put it on Twitter. It went viral. It was hilarious. If you're 30 years old and you want to do a funny bit like that, you can come to my front door. I mean, it was so funny, but that would be really the only exception. You know, I don't think they were necessarily looking for candy. I think they just thought what they had done, dressed up as, was hilarious, and they wanted to show people, and it was.
I think we're expecting more kids this year, probably, since we moved. Here's how lazy kids are these days. At my old house, where I lived for 25 years, we lived in a cul-de-sac, but it was, you had to go up a hill to get to the cul-de-sac. And people would stop, by the time we left there, people were stopping at the bottom of the hill and turning around because they didn't want to walk up the hill.
This is America, folks.
We got fewer and fewer kids over the years, and I think that had a lot to do with it. I do.
Well,
that's
maybe people
sad.
Are just kind of pansies and they don't want to walk up a little dinky hill. Come on. It's not that bad. I remember when we were trick-or-treating with my cousins in New Hampshire, and the hills, the driveways in and of themselves would be so steep, so long. And it was kind of fun because you get to the top, you feel like you've hiked, and then you get the, you know, huge candy bars. I'm not talking about the fun size. I mean the full size Snickers and Twix. It was worth the trek up the hill.
Yeah. No.
I wonder what costumes are going to be popular this year. I know there's going to be some Donald Trumps because I saw it last year. I'm sure there's going to be some Kamala Harris costumes, and I'm really looking forward to any kids doing some sort of a bit this year.
I'm sure there's a mask. I'm sure there are masks. Somebody's produced them. We need to go to one of the Halloween stores and see.
You think that what they would do is just wear a brown wig and then hold up a sign saying, I grew up in a middle-class family?
Do they still have the one over there on Jefferson, Carl, by by the liquor
Johnny
store?
Brock's.
Yeah, Johnny Brock's. All right, maybe we go in there and see.
I can't wait for the costumes. I mean, that really is one of my favorite parts.
I'll buy you the Kamala mask, and you have to wear it.
You have to be Joe Biden, then.
Oh, dope.
But I don't know how you're going to get through 4 hours on the radio. All you have to do is
with
be
that
like,
mask on.
By the way, it's not that
and
bad.
Here's the deal. I sound like Ross Perot.
I mean it.
When I try to do that. Coming up, we'll get to our buddy Chad Pergram, and we're going to talk more about FEMA and how much money they have left, plus the latest on Amendment 3 and why you need to vote no.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.